I was thinking about kind of a different perspective on testimonies, because you think about a testimony and you think, you give your testimony to people who are unbelievers, you know, to share your story, but there's also a part to play, obviously, we're here, and just sharing our story with other people who are believers, it is a way to build community and unity, because it's a way that we can grow in grace towards one another, just understanding where people have come from. And anyway, I just like that perspective on it. So, all right, I was born in New York in 1976, and I don't remember much of when my parents were married. They were divorced when I was four, so I don't have much of a memory of them being together. I do remember when they told us, my mom and my dad were sitting there with my grandma and grandpa, and they told me, go get your brother. And I was like, eh, he's in trouble. So I went and got him, and they're like, oh no, you come too. Anyway, that's when they told us. So I was young, and I don't remember much of that. My mom got married right after that, and then years later, my dad got remarried. So mostly I grew up in seeing my dad every other weekend and spending most of the time with my mom and my stepdad. So I kind of felt like the relationship with my dad was different because, you know, I was always trying to be on my best behavior because I only saw him every other weekend for 2 days. So it wasn't really a mom or a daughter-father relationship in that way because, he was... not really a babysitter, just a guy I was spending time with. I mean, he was my dad, but that sounds awful. He was my dad, but, and I love him, and I know he loves me. I'm, you know, his little girl, but it was different. So most of the influence that I had in my life as far as the perspective of God was from my aunt. That's my mom's sister. She's one of five girls. Donna, Debbie, Dory, Diane, Denise, and this was my Aunt Debbie, who was always talking about the Lord, and I would always just listen to everything that she said and always ask questions, and I kept those things in my heart, like I always just wanted to hear more about God, and I remember her daughter when I was eight, she slept over, and she was telling me all about the Lord, and I was like, I need Jesus in my heart, so she said a prayer with me. And I accepted Jesus in my heart, and then probably every day after that, asked Jesus in my heart. Because I was just so sinful, and he needed to come back because he had left. So I really didn't follow the Lord after that, and certainly not in my high school days. So the Lord was gracious. I mean, he's always gracious, but gracious to me in high school. And I did have this one girl, Tammy, who I was really good friends with. She was a Baptist, and she invited me to her youth group all the time. So I would go with her, but I really wasn't walking with the Lord. I just knew about him, and I knew I wanted to love him, and I knew I wanted to walk with him, but I didn't exactly know what that meant. And I do remember, I have this vivid memory, though, of I was in ninth grade, and I was talking to my boyfriend on the phone, which is such a weird thing to even think about because it's totally on my mindset now, like in ninth grade to have a boyfriend. Anyway, I was in this youth group. He was not in it. And I was talking to him on the phone and I was telling him, I don't know what we were talking about, but for some reason I was like, I just love God so much. And I had this like electricity go from my feet to my head. It was like the weirdest thing. And I knew it was the Lord because nothing had happened before that or since. I just knew that it was him and I told him. And anyway, we had dated, whatever that means in ninth grade, a little while after that, and then we broke up, and he was so mean to me. He would, like, put these notes in my locker about dumb Christians and all these things. Anyway, so I didn't really walk with the Lord, like I said, throughout high school. And then in college, totally walked away from the Lord. I mean, I was a hot mess. Like, even, like, worldly standards, I was doing all the things that you could imagine. Dating lots of people, doing lots of stuff, doing drugs, alcohol, just whatever. I really didn't have a lot of self-worth. So I did date a lot of different guys, hoping that that would fulfill something. It obviously never did. But later in my college years, I was living off campus, so I would walk to classes every day. And I remember just thinking about the Lord and remembering all the things that my aunt had put in my heart, like, and just longing to walk with him and know more about him. So I would take my Walkman and I'd listen to this one Christian radio station, and I don't even know what I listened to, just like they were talking and just whatever I could get, but still going to the bars and doing all those things. But the desire was there to know God more. I just wasn't ready to give up these things. So it was probably about 1999 maybe. My aunt, who I had mentioned before, invited me to a youth rally that was at the River Church she was attending, which if you've heard any of the testimony from the youth, when Tony and Rachel were leading it, that's where, actually, let me tell you the story of how they got there. It started with a prostitute in Poughkeepsie. So there was a lady who was a prostitute in Poughkeepsie, and she got saved at the River Church. She moved to Florida and became Tony and Rachel's travel agent. So Tony and Rachel, one day, they called her up. They were like, we want to do this mission trip, but we don't know, you know, where to go. And she's like, oh, you got to go to my church in Poughkeepsie, the River Church. So they did. They called Marlo up, and of course, Marlo's like, oh, yeah, come here, because he was up for anything. So anyway, that's how the youth ended up at the River Church. So my aunt invited me to this rally, and the Lord was drawing me closer. He was drawing me in, so I was like, sure, I'll go. And the first night we were there, and Pastor Marlo was speaking, and I could just feel the Lord's presence. And I remember he invited people who wanted to, you know, speak in tongues to go up to this room and do that. I'm like, sure, I'll go, I'll do whatever. So I did. I spoke in tongues that night. It was me and my cousin, Marnie's sister, Mindy. We went up, and, you know, the Lord really marked me then. Though still, I will say, I did start going to that church right after that. I probably showed up hungover many of the times, but eventually I felt convicted, and I moved out of the place I was living, going to college, and I moved back home and just started commuting because I knew I had to just get away from that scene. Unfortunately, I didn't really know how to do that in a healthy way, so I just kind of stepped away from all those people. I didn't know how else to do it. But so I was living at home, going to the River Church, and it was the end of 2019 that Aaron moved there.
2009,
I'm sorry. I'm looking at 2019 right here. It was the end of 1999.
There we go.
There's the nine.
There's the nine. Like, no, because we got my... Or was it two? Yeah, 1999. He did. Because it was right before Y2K. So, you know. You know. So he moved there. He got up one day, you know, Marlo was introducing him to the church. He moved there to do an internship at the church, working with the youth, which actually ended up turning out, well, he did do that. Anyway, that's a different story. So he got up to speak, and this woman came up to me after, and she's like, you're going to marry him, which is not something you probably, I've heard since, you should be prophesying to people, but... I was like, no. Because, first of all, he's 3 years younger than me, which is fine, except that he really acted like he was. He was very immature. I mean, I was like, I am not going to marry that guy. No. So... So people tell stories, and he would be okay with me saying this. People tell stories of, like, he left and he came back like a totally different person. And not because I tried to change him in any way. He just did. He matured. maybe I helped a little. I don't know. So that was 1999. So actually, we ended up starting to date in April 2000. He dragged me to hell. We were in a play together, Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. And he was Satan, and I was some girl, and he dragged me to hell. It was love ever since. So, yeah, we started dating in April, and then we got engaged October 2000, and then got married April 2001. And I said, I will never move to Florida, ever. And then June of that year, we came to a wedding, which is like the worst time to come to Florida. And I was like, I think I can move to Florida. So I knew it was the Lord, because I hate the heat. Like, if you know anything about me, you know that I hate the heat. I hate it. And I love the seasons, and I love New York. But I did feel like the Lord was saying that this is where we were going to go. And it was only going to be a year in our minds. So we were in that first year, we were at SeaWorld, and this older couple was in front of us in line. And they were talking about how they had been here 17 years, and when they moved here, they were like, you're just going to be in Florida for 1 year. And we looked at each other, we're like, that is not going to be us. We are going back. And so, like Bonnie said, it's 19 years later, and we're still here. And so, let me look at my notes real quick. I think there were some things I skipped over. So anyway, even though we were here, my heart was not here, right, Becky? It was not. Because first of all, I thought I was moving back. And then when I wasn't, I just was not connecting here. Not because of any particular person. I just didn't want to. I didn't want to get connected. And I remember Shelley Tapper, I was at, I think it was a Fire Dweller. No, not Fire Dweller. What was it called?
At the little church there?
No, the One Thing.
Oh.
It's at one of the One Things. And she had said to me, I wish I could remember the wording, but basically it was, why have you put up this wall? And I'm like, I don't know. I think it still took a little bit, but I'm here now, and I feel good about it. And have for quite some time. I still don't love the heat, but that's okay. I'm not going back to New York, Barbara.
Okay.
She said, what did you say to me before?
That was the smartest thing you did.
Oh, that was the smartest thing you did.
Look at the mess it's in now. Aren't you
I know.
Glad you're here?
It wasn't really a mess so much when I left. I don't know. I was younger, so I probably had a different perspective. But, yeah, it probably wasn't. So yeah, let's see. So I never thought I would homeschool. Where I come from, nobody did. Like, there were a few people who did, and they were super weird. That was not going to be me. So the Lord's been continually working and changing things in me. I, like I said before, I didn't have a lot of self-worth growing up. So that's something that the Lord has challenged me. There are things in my personality that I didn't like and I thought were flawed, but God has changed that perspective in me. I remember always thinking, because I was fearful of things, that I had no courage. But I actually did, because in order to have courage, you have to actually be fearful of something and overcome that. And I did. I mean, there were lots of things that the Lord had me step into that I couldn't possibly without actually having courage. one of the perspectives I always had was that, like I talked about with seeing my dad every other weekend, that I always had to present things in this package that looked a certain way. And the Lord has really changed my mind. I've read this, that's why it says 2019. In 2019, I was listening to this podcast, and this guy said this, I'll read it to you. And I'm like, yes, that's it. It says, none of us are prepared to be the adults that we're supposed to be, and none of us are equipped to be the most successful professionals that we're going to be, and none of us are really prepared to have the kinds of relationships that we've idealized. And that's what makes us human, that we get to stumble forward, that growing into the gift of our humanity is a clumsy dance, and some of us try to tidy it up, and some of us try to present otherwise. But this human aspect of feeling unprepared is actually what makes life beautiful. That's there's an impromptuness, there's a spontaneousness, is actually what he said, but that's not a word. There's this unrehearsed way of being, I guess that's the point, right? I just love that. I love that I get to be in this church body where we get to grow in grace together, that there is an understanding that we don't have to be perfect, that life is a clumsy dance, and we get to do it together, you know? I'm forgetting several of the things that I was going to say. Let me look at my notes. Oh, I did want to say this, too. Aaron asked me to marry him like 3 times, and I said no. It was funny. He actually did. Like a week after, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after we met, he asked me to marry him. So anyway,
he wouldn't mind. Were you dating?
No.
What made you say yes finally?
Oh, that's a good story, actually. I think I had it in my notes, but I'm not looking at it because I am so uncomfortable speaking in front of people, and especially about myself. I hate it. So we were engaged. No, we were not engaged yet, but I had a suspicion that he was who I was supposed to marry. And I remember we were having this discussion about maybe we shouldn't stay together. I don't know. I was being really apprehensive about it. That is something you need to know. I am not a very decisive person. It is very hard for me to make a decision. And I knew that this was an important one, obviously, because I knew that divorce was not going to be on the table necessarily. Not that, I'm not saying there is a place for that, but I wanted to know that I knew that this was God's will. So I said to God, I want to know, like, I read it in a book that he is the person that I'm supposed to marry. And so it was this night where we were discussing if we should stay together or not. And it was weird. I never had anything before like this or since. It was like I kind of fell asleep, but not totally. So I guess a vision?
A trance.
And there were these 3 books that came. One I knew was the Bible, one I knew was Aaron, and one I knew was me. And the 3 books went together, and a shoelace tied the 3 books together. And I just knew. I mean, there were other things. That wasn't the only thing, but that kind of solidified it. So, yeah, that's
cool.
That's how. And we were married in April. I really would have preferred a fall wedding, but we didn't want to wait. So I did have a fall-looking wedding. I had, like, sunflowers and gerber daisies and very fall colors. Anyway, there was more I wanted to share, but now I can't think of it. You were saying that to you. Get up here. It's like, it's awful. Yeah, I think that's
how long were you married before you guys moved down?
We were married 6. So we started dating 6 months. 6 months we were engaged. 6 months we were married. We moved in November of 2001. So right after Thanksgiving, we moved here. Yep.
What brought you to this church?
So Aaron grew up in this church.
Okay.
Yep. He grew up, and that's where we felt like God called us to, and we've been here that whole time.
Snatched her up and wouldn't let her go.
Yep.
And what about your children?
Oh, I have 3 kids. Jackson, who's 16. right? Yeah, 16. Ellie is 14, and Macy is 12. And Ellie just started singing on the worship team, which is such a blessing. Like, there's other things I covet, I'm sure, but one thing I totally do is to be able to sing. Like, I just think it's not fair that I can't. I just want to be able to, like, belt it out, you know? I do covet that.
It's not too late.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you've heard of people, like, the anointing comes on and they could just play classical piano or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if I would do well with that gift. I feel like I would get a big head. Like, you know? I don't know. It would be good for me. But I want it.
Well, how did you get into ministry? What did God do to orchestrate that?
That was kind of just little by little. I actually have always felt called to that, to some type of ministry. I didn't know what that even meant. Another thing I wanted to say, actually, you just reminded me. So when I first started going back to church, it was kind of a whirlwind. Like, all these things were happening in the church. The church was growing really quickly. God was really moving there. And because I had asked my aunt all those questions and listened, God had tucked those things in my heart. And it was like it all just came back. And I feel like he was preparing me for that time, because I just had an understanding of his character and things of the kingdom that someone who really is a baby Christian, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be there, but there was a foundation that my aunt had kind of helped let, you know?
Your rapture aunt?
My rapture aunt, yeah. She's talking about, so my aunt and uncle were not saved when they got married, and then my aunt got saved probably a couple years after that, and my uncle was always going to the bars and being obnoxious. When she would have her Bible studies, he'd come in and, like, chug his beer and burp really loud and, I don't know, worse things than that. But anyway, she would tell him about the rapture, that if I'm not here, like, then God raptured me up. So one day he came home and the vacuum was running and no one was standing there. So it didn't change him then, but eventually he did come to know the Lord. So funny. I wish I could have seen him, you know? Yep, it's that Aunt Debbie. Teresa doesn't even know my Aunt Debbie, but she loves her.
Is she in New York still?
She is, yeah. Yep.
You'll have to invite her to come down so we can meet her.
I know. Aunt Debbie and Uncle Mike. Some of you could have, whoever went to New York, you could have met her, but I don't know if you remember. My Uncle Mike's a big guy. He was like the shortest in his class when he graduated. And then he's a big guy now, like 6 foot something. I don't know. He grew after he graduated, which is uncommon, but very tall. Yep. So, yeah, I didn't really answer your question about it. Just kind of gradually happened. Aaron kind of was, I mean, he was already in leadership. Like, he moved to New York to be, lead the youth. Actually, so Marlo, I don't know if any of you know Marlo. Did you ever meet Marlo? I mean, you did. I mean, he's like, you give him an idea, or he has an idea, and he's just going for it. It doesn't really matter. It's going to work out. So he actually had me be like an assistant leader to Aaron at the youth. Now, mind you, I just started coming to church like 2 weeks ago. It felt like, but I think, like I was saying, that's what the Lord had prepared me for. He like laid this foundation before. Not that I was really ready to lead the youth, but yeah. So when we came here, we weren't really, I don't think we were, I think I did like multimedia and we did some things, but this kind of happened over time.
We became a home group leader first.
Oh, right. Yep, we did. We took over Brett and Becky's home group that they made me go to. That's when I didn't want to be here. I was like, I'll go, I guess. Yep.
Well, tell us more about you personally. What things do you like? Do you like to read? Do you what? I know you like to run.
I like the idea of reading. I'm not really good at it. Although I just read an excellent book, which title I can't remember right now. I do enjoy reading, but it's hard to find the time just to sit down and do it. But I made the time for that book. I didn't do anything. I was like, I gotta finish this book so I can get on with my life. what do I like doing?
Coffee.
I do like coffee. I love my family. I love spending time with my family.
Oh, we were the lucky ones.
We were the lucky.
You sent me a picture of it.
I'm like, oh, you were lucky to spend time with me? I didn't know what to say. I'm like, yes, we were the lucky ones. It was
Georgia
so good.
Hunter.
It was about World War II. This family, this Polish Jewish family, and their time during World War II. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. It's based on true facts. Based on
true
story. Yeah, true events. Thank you. So good. It's at the library.
Did you guys always know that you wanted three children, or was it just, we have three, okay, we feel like we're good now?
So, there was a time, and I don't know, I'm 44. doing the math. So there was a time we did want another one, but it just didn't happen. Not that it still couldn't. I always say, I shouldn't say it here, but I always say that I'm going to be that one, that lady who, like, is going to have, like, twins. So, did you ever see the episode of Parks and Rec where she's having triplets and the OB's like, now, this isn't uncommon. It's what we call, because she's older. She's, like, in her late 40s or whatever. He's like, it's what we call in the business. Now, don't be offended. A going out of business sale. Like, so she's having to be like, I'm like, that's going to be. Yeah. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Although not because of men. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Details. Like, I'm not saying that word. Never mind.
Yes. I like to keep a tidy house. It does come just naturally. Becky's asking me, other people, like, how do you do laundry? Like, what do you do? Like, I just get up into, I don't know.
Tell me all the details.
I just do it. Yeah, spending time with my family. I love to dance. I think that's what got me in the bars in the first place, because I just loved to dance. I love to dance. It's so fun.
What kind of dancing is your favorite?
What would you even call it? I don't know.
Just music.
Like, when did you ever get in, when you were, like, in college or anything, did you ever get into any clubs or any type of specific dance things, or was it just...
I mean, it was just, like,
whatever.
Just dance music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not, like, square dancing or...
Freestyle.
Yeah, freestyle. Freestyle.
Clubbing.
Yeah, clubbing. I think that's what they called it. I don't know.
How do you start your day?
Exercise. What was that?
Coffee.
A little bit of coffee, exercise, prayer, but not enough. I need to get up earlier. There's always that conviction there, you know? Could at least do more. I used to start it much earlier, but since I have teenagers and we all go to bed late and at the same time, it's been difficult, but mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you guys start your day? How do you start your day? Actually, I'm curious. Yeah.
Coffee. Screaming.
I feel like...
I have my alarm at 6 o'clock, uh-huh. Not 6:30, so I turn it off at 6, And I just stopped praying while I'm still in bed. And then 6:30, I turned my computer, which is right there, I turned it on and started listening to the daily Bible. And then if I'm not rushing out, then I have a time, I set up like a journal conversation with Jesus for sure. So I just sit and think about the verse and start digging deep into the original word.
Every day you do?
Nice.
There are days I skip
most
of
the
just
thank you
for the
lunch.
Yeah.
And
then I take out my
dog.
And then I take out my dog.
I need to distinguish empty nesters and little kids.
Aww. Except I knew you started your day like that. I just knew it.
Awesome, Mr. Jarrell.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know because you told me. I just knew. What was that?
My kids are all grown, so I'm not going to make
sense. Right.
When they were there, they were like, get up. We're late.
Oh, yeah, you took them to school.
And then we stopped praying in the car.
So where's God taking you and Aaron?
I don't know.
Nowhere, right here.
You can't go anywhere.
I don't know, but I'm sure it'll be exciting.
Won't be long and we'll be without kids at home.
I know.
I vote we put music on and have a dance party.
Well, it'd have to be like dance music.
Yeah, that's fine. Electric slide, not a
Randy can bring.
Oh, I love the electric slide. That is fun. Are you serious? I can't tell. She's like, oh, I'm serious.
When it has to do with dancing, she's always
that would be fun.
We just need some weddings.
I know. Oh, so that's what I was going to say. You said it won't be long. You saw me. You said it won't be long before the kids are out of the house. I remember I was just telling, actually I've told you too, I told lots of people recently, like, I remember feeling totally brokenhearted and devastated, like the thought of my kids leaving home when they were little, like, there is no way, like, how do people even handle this? I don't know how they go on living after. That's how I felt. But recently my perspective has shifted, and not because it's like I just want them out of the house, just thinking about appreciating this season for what it is and thinking about the next and the joy that that will bring. It's just different. I don't know. It's exciting to think about them getting, not that I'm in a rush for them to get married at all. I mean, they're 16, 14, and 12, so there's time. But if that feels like it would bring joy, not like before where it was like, I can't, there's no way. There's no way. I mean, really, I felt like that, like it would be a tearing away, but it doesn't feel like that now. I think, too, because I didn't have a strong relationship with my parents growing up, so I guess not knowing what to expect, but now that we do have a good relationship, it just feels different. Like, hopefully you'll always be there, right? I mean, you'll always be near, right? That's a promise. You guys saw it. Yep. Yeah, I don't know what else to share. I feel like there were so many things in my head. Sure.
So you had mentioned that you were going to be here for a year. Leading up to the end of the year, did God, like, present to you that you were going to stay, or was it like a bam, or was he preparing your heart for that change, or like, what? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel like he ever, there was a definitive moment. I think it just kind of, like, okay, well, it's not happening now. There's nothing really in New York for us anymore. Okay. That's where we thought we were going to go back to. And we never felt the release. We never felt like God was saying, it's time to go now. So we just kept waiting and waiting. And then we settled here, and we knew that that was right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really, I don't think, I felt like God was saying we would just be here for a year. I think I just wanted that. I wanted that. Even though I was fine leaving New York, because there really, at the time, was nothing there for us either. So, yeah, it wasn't like this definitive moment. It was just, yeah. Now we're here. So, almost 20 years later. That's crazy to think about.
Why don't you pray over the ladies? Impart. What do you think God would like you to impart? Obviously, you have gotten content here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're at peace. It's obvious. So you somehow worked through that.
Right. Yeah. All right. I could do that.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Well, I think I remember you were saying once that you knew that the Lord wanted you here, and even when you were going, when this church went to a season of no youth and it was just your children,
mm-hmm.
how did you know that you still needed to stay, even though everything in the physical looks like you should go?
Through prayer. I mean, I felt like God, we didn't audibly hear him. We just, every time we would feel discouraged, we would come back. I mean, we would drive home sometimes like, there's no one there for our kids. There's nothing, it felt like there was, not that there was nothing here for us. I mean, we have friends here. We would just go back to God, and we never felt, like I said, we never felt the release to leave here. It felt like this was where we were supposed to stay.
How about the kids? Did their struggles of not having friends weigh in any on you guys?
They still did have friends. Like, we hung out with the Gondas kids, your kids, and some other, you know, we hung out with kids. They just didn't have friends at church.
Okay.
And they were younger, too. I think that if it happened now, it would feel a little different. That they're older, you know, because they love their friends.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, were you and Aaron on the same page during that season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, sometimes it would take the other, like, remember what, you know, God's called us here. But we were, yeah. We would have to, encourage one another often.